It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes, guest hosting, and you are not going to want to miss this information jam-packed hour. First and foremost, we're going to be wrapping up Bilderberg 2026. One mainstream article came out on Tuesday from Charlie Skelton, who to me is really the only mainstream journalist that has covered this fairly over the past almost 2 decades. We're also going to talk a little bit about the discrepancies between the leaked list that was about 95% correct and then what Bilderberg put out on their own website. There were a few names that were on that leaked list that were not on the official list, and there are certainly some questions to ask in that regard. Then we're going to go to Ro Khanna, who was just at the National Press Club. And look, I call him like I see him. It's balls and strikes. I probably don't agree on a lot of policy that Ro Khanna puts out there. In fact, in this National Press Club event, he starts talking up Chuckie Schumer. No fan of Schumer, but what I don't play is team baseball with the Democrats and the Republicans and the overall narratives out there. And really, Ro Khanna knocks it out of the park, not just talking about the Epstein class, a new gilded age, and commentary on Eric Swalwell. I mean, if you didn't know Swalwell was a creep by looking at him, even watching him in the Democratic primary debates when he's talking about dirty diapers and babies, I mean, Fang Fang, everybody, if you didn't know, again, I don't understand. I don't get how anybody could not realize that guy is a total and complete sleazeball. But it also really speaks to this predator class, this Epstein class, how they all knew this. All right. It's only when he stepped out of bounds, tried to take a little too much political power in a place where he wasn't endorsed by that same class, and all of a sudden, a video leaks out of him in a hotel room grabbing on what seems to be a call girl. And again, if you think that's shocking behavior, if you don't think Swalwell has done like things that are 20 times worse than that, again, you're being extremely naive. We're also going to talk about some of the Johnny nonsense surrounding Jeffrey Epstein and what to me is a meme at this point, because it is a meme. The idea that Epstein is alive. And I know a lot of people want to hold on to the fantastical, and this is the stuff that constantly goes viral. Palm Beach Pete, not Epstein, everybody, not even close. Okay. If you saw how old Epstein actually was when he got arrested in 2019, go take a better look at the mugshot. I mean, not only would you have had to do, you know, certain facial surgery, I mean, you would have probably had to do some type of a facelift. He's not Palm Beach Pete, everybody. The fake pictures of him in Tel Aviv with a beard that went around the world and viral. The phony video of Ghislaine Maxwell not being in prison. That's the stuff that goes super mega viral. Ask yourself why that is. When we have hardcore information on Epstein, this network, how it integrates into Bilderberg, which we discussed last time on this program, how Epstein was literally, via his surrogate, Leslie Groff, and his other high-level surrogates, because that's what Mandelson was directing Mandelson and others to the script for Bilderberg. And even PR companies that were working with Epstein knew the power of Bilderberg. Yet, does the mainstream know about this meeting? Do they understand massive arms deals were just cut? Massive deals on where this war goes from here were just made via NATO, the banking systems, the military industrial complex, artificial intelligence, and the media. Full stop. That actually just happened, and no one seems to be talking about it. So we're going to delve into that and beyond. It's the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Go support the broadcast. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Get the supplements, and we'll be back after this.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. Take starting meds kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
And we are back. It is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes, and we're going to get into Bilderberg 2026, held in D.C. Okay, the earliest it has been held in my lifetime. It's not since, I believe, the late 60s that was held this early in April. My entire lifetime. It has been from the beginning of May all the way back to the end of June. And for some reason, they moved it on up. Now, there were three names that really caught my attention. Now, maybe they attended Bilderberg. Maybe they didn't. But they were on that list. Now, as I showed when going over the Epstein-Bilderberg documents, it seemed like Mandelson had about a 6-7 week window where he knew when he was going to Bilderberg, that time in Chantilly, Virginia. I believe that was in 2012, and when he could visit Epstein just prior. So to me, you know, these annual meetings, you at least have that 6 week, maybe 2 month window. Now, if in fact somebody like Peter Thiel, who was on the leaked list, not on the official list, really didn't go, okay, Alex Karp, we know, went there. Seen there the whole nine, his surrogate, Palantir forever, right? If he really didn't go there, then maybe they did move this up suddenly. Maybe it was really scheduled for May or June and they moved it up and he couldn't go. Now, I also think, who was it? Rishi Sunak, they were on the leaked list, didn't appear on the official list. Okay. So again, that would suggest that. But somebody that was on that leaked list, that wasn't on the official list, I really have to wonder whether they just wanted their name taken off, and that'd be Scott Bessent, okay? On the leaked list, obviously in D.C., in that area, unless there was some kind of conflict between Thursday and Sunday, and really the meat and potatoes is Friday and Saturday, right? I'm not sure why he didn't make it. So, Skelton put out the Guardian. To their credit, London Guardian is the only one that covered it. If somebody wants to send me another mainstream article, I'd love to see it. I didn't see it on NBC, CBS, MSN Now, okay? Not Fox News, none of it. I didn't. By the way, Newsmax might have missed it. OAN might have missed it as well. They might be a little bit better in some people's eyes, but I don't know how you miss this one. The power brokers of the Anglo-American-Israeli-Saudi alliance. Right there in your face, meeting in secret over the most important subjects, not only today and surrounding these geopolitical conflicts, but into the future of artificial intelligence, automation, and yes, transhumanism. By the way, if you want to give me a follow on X, a heavily censored platform, all of them are, guys. I hate to tell you. Like, this isn't freedom of speech land. As I stated earlier in the week, when I was on the war room, we broke the chains this week on Monday. We got rid of the stupid blue check mark. Have my analytics changed at all? Nope. I was getting no boost, no reply boost. Same numbers. In fact, I mentioned to everybody that I was on the cusp of 50,000 followers, and I would get that through this platform, a true free speech platform. No one tells me what to say. Nobody asks me, hey, Jason, what are you going to be talking about today? Maybe we don't want to go in that direction. No, none of that. I am off the cuff. There's no script. So I would assume we'll probably get another 100, 200 followers. And this is where, again, you might not see my stuff. You might have to actually go directly to /Jason Burmis. But this is where a lot of the stuff I talk about is in the raw. So you don't have to hear me talk about it or any of it. You get to see the baseline documentation. And that's where you can find this right here. And we're going to read it. Skelton, again, nails it. This one's probably one of his shorter pieces on the matter. But I think that has a lot to do with the fact that there was literally no coverage. None. I was so glad to see that he actually published this on Tuesday, because he's usually publishing over the weekend of the actual event. So let's read it top to bottom. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, but it's a mystery why the press fails to talk about it. I guess it might not be a mystery when you realize that Warner Brothers, Spotify, CNN Twice, Bloomberg, The Economist, I believe the Financial Times, The Atlantic, all there. All A.N. Applebaum, A. Fareed Sagaria, all of them there. You know, what are they doing there? They're setting narrative perimeters. That's what they're doing there. Okay? So let's go down it. The 72nd meeting of the Bilderberg Group, the elite and secretive policy conference that is the longtime subject of endless conspiracy theories, was held at the weekend in Washington, D.C. A security cordon went up around the opulent Salamander Hotel for the notoriously media-shy summit, which was packed, as ever, with prime ministers, military leaders, tech billionaires, and the heads of giant investment companies. Also the media, guys. I mean big-time media. Bilderberg, which since the 1950s has been the intellectual engine room of NATO, took place this year at a time of immense crisis and uncertainty for the alliance in recent weeks, with Trump threatening at every turn to withdraw the paper tiger of NATO. I got news for you. That ship has sailed. We ain't leaving NATO. That's imagination land. You know, that's Trump posturing. I want to make that extremely clear. If we really thought we were leaving NATO, we could have done so before the cocaine train. Remember that? The blow train? When he said he was going to come in, old Donnie T, and he was going to get rid of that pesky Ukraine-Russia conflict before even being sworn into office the second time. You could say it sailed then, but by the time all those guys are on the happy sauce, nose candy style, and I know you've seen the videos, you tell me it's a tissue all day. Okay, sure. Sure. Wait till we get into Justin Trudeau and the story you don't know about that. Gives you an insight into who these people are. We ain't leaving NATO, okay? The transatlantic defense industrial relationship, as it's called on the agenda, has reached a strained breaking point. That's the military-industrial complex, which is really the media military-industrial complex at this point. That's what transatlantic defense industrial relationship means. The head of NATO and Bilderberg regular, Mark Rutte, arrived at the conference fresh from a very frank conversation at the White House, but away from Trump's bluster and for all the rhetoric about abandoning NATO, there were no signs that the Americans are withdrawing from Bilderberg. Far from it. The Americans were there in force. You bet your arnis they were. Wall Street titans, including the CEOs of KKR and Lazard and the heads of huge corporations like Pfizer, met behind closed doors with a delegation of senior politicians close to the president. Big business lobbying in private of Bilderberg's is Bilderberg's specialty, and the secretive mix of the private and public sectors fits perfectly with the Trump's brand of crony capitalism. That is correct. Give Charlie a prize. Nailed it. Trump's trusted Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, was attending, alongside his favorite trade guru, Robert Lighthizer. They were joined by Trump's economic ally, Jason Smith. That's the Missouri congressman I didn't know much about. Charlie knew a little more about him. The chair of the influential House Ways and Means Committee. And the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, known as Trump's drone guy. And remember, drones are ever more apparent as a means of not only warfare overseas, but security, surveillance, and domination across the world. I mean, I know Lucky Palmer, Anderl. For those that don't know those guys, he's in a Hawaiian suit. He's a young. He created the Oculus. He used to work at Meta. He's no big deal on that guy. Most people don't even know who the guy is. Okay, and he's all drone warfare, and they got cash rolling out for that guy, and he's at UFC events, right? And look, man, I love me this last card. This last weekend's card at UFC was badass. But, you know, I got to acknowledge, you want to get the public into, you know, bread and circuses? I mean, a lot of people were watching the UFC. How many people were talking about Bilderberg? That's all. Same weekend. Bilderberg probably a little bit more important. I'll concede to that. Okay? Just saying. It was no surprise with the conflict in Iran dominating the global news cycle that this year's conference had a wartime flavor, with the future of warfare on the agenda and a participant list, including the four-star Admiral Samuel Paparo, head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. From the private sector, there was a healthy contingent of military contractors and drone manufacturers, led by the Bilderberg's insider, Eric Schmidt, who's the former head of Google and keen evangelist for what? Drone warfare. Earlier this year, Schmidt told the Financial Times that future wars are going to be defined by unmanned weapons with swarms of drones operated remotely and increasingly automated with AI targeting. Thriving in this rich overlap between drones and AI are companies like Anduril Industries. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, of course they are. Whose co-founder and CEO, Brian Schimpf, is attending the Washington conference. I don't know, they've Lucky's kind of the face. I don't know that he's ever been there. He may have. They may have had him there at least once at this point. But Anduril is a new name that you should definitely be aware of. Most people are not. Alongside the collaborator in Trump's Golden Dome project, Palantir's CEO, Alex Karp. Yes, the Golden Dome. Sorry, we're not in a golden age anymore, everybody. If you really were buying into that new golden age, I'm sorry. We are in a new gilded age. That's the reality. A gilded age in which they want to reign from a techno-feudalistic top-down society of command and control. Karp is close to fellow billionaire tech bro Peter Thiel, whose name remarkably is absent from this year's participant list. Again, on the leaked list, not on the official list. And to me, that probably means Thiel actually wasn't there, that they moved it up, that he had a conflict. But maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. It's called being a human being, having some humility. Let's continue down. Thiel has been a member of the group's steering committee since 2008, almost 20 years now, and it is unheard of for him to miss a Bilderberg. Thiel's reach runs deep into the Trump administration, and his influence within Bilderberg has also been growing through the years. Through the American Friends of Bilderberg, he largely funds the lavish Washington-based meetings alongside fellow steering committee member and billionaire Schmidt. See, it's potato, patata, tomato, tomata. Let's call the whole thing off. You got your right guy, your libertarian guy on one end with Thiel, and then you got Schmidt on the other end of the lefty. Think it matters? No. I'm sorry, it doesn't. And look, Thiel backstabbed the first Trump administration when he was the Secretary of Technology. He wouldn't come out and say anything about the election. No one's saying anything about the machines. Forget about the mail-in ballots and all the other Johnny nonsense. He tried to fix that. Nope, he abandoned Trump during that time period. And for whatever reason, I think he saw the writing on the wall, especially after they didn't shoot, you know, Trump through the head. Boy, what a different world we would be in. And not necessarily a better one, guys. I just want to let everybody know, God knows what would have happened if that bullet went straight through his dome. Just want to say, I think after that, I mean, that's when the podcast train starts happening. That's when Thiel's on Rogan and all of a sudden J.D. Vance is there too. And, you know, the coup de grace is Trump just a couple days before the election. They're on Theo Vaughn and all these other podcasts. That wasn't Barron, everybody. I'm not saying Barron's a dumb kid. Probably what happened was Theo's putting this all into place. Trump has a conversation with his son, and Barron's like, yeah, no, that's actually a really good idea. that these are the new media outlets. And that's why Spotify is there, right? Talk about all about narrative management and control, period. Okay. That's how these things, that's how they make you think that Eric Schmidt and Peter Thiel are like on different sides of the table. Not like, no. Thiel operates in the powerful liminal area between big finance and big intelligence. Notably, he set up Palantir with the help of funding from the Central Intelligence Agency. The shady intersection was the birthplace of Bilderberg and is baked into its history. The group was set up by British and American intelligence. And there's always been a handful of spy chiefs at the conference. This year, three intelligence directors were present, including the head of MI6, Blaise Metriwal. It is fascinating. It is a fascinating backstage world, which Thiel will now miss, along with the strategizing, the talent spotting, and the big ideological discussions on China and the West. It was no small thing for the arch networker Thiel to skip Bilderberg. After all, Bilderberg is all about the chance to stay three steps ahead with all that lovely off-the-books access to policymakers, such as breakfast with the president of Finland, tea with the head of the IMF, and cocktails with the king of Holland. Quite why the press fails so spectacularly to talk about Bilderberg, such a major annual summit with so many senior politicians present, is an enduring mystery. This year's conference had plenty of newsworthy aspects, not the least the presence of Vivian Motzfeldt, the former Greenlandic foreign minister and ex-speaker of the Innistrad, Greenland's parliament. I'm going to butcher it. Motzfeldt was the first Greenlander to appear at Bilderberg, and her presence was a clear signal to the Trump administration that Greenland has powerful allies within this transatlantic partnership. Motzfeldt no doubt contributed to the session on Arctic security and might even have moved to a quote, the final sentence of Trump's recent anti-NATO event. Remember Greenland, that big, poorly run piece of ice. But as there was no oversight at this conference by the press, it is something that we will probably never know. So Skelton, just top of his game here, guys. Top of his game. Really need to go check that out. So I want to move on from the Bilderberg to Epstein and the Epstein class. We're going to play a couple of clips here from Ro Khanna at the National Press Club. At first, he kind of just addresses the press, and then he does like a sit down with one of them. This is him in his initial like 15-minute address to the press. This is just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of Ro Khanna really stating the obvious, and the obvious to anybody that's paying attention to what true populism is. This is who he is appealing to.
And nothing encapsulates this sense of injustice more than what I call the Epstein class. This is a group of elites who operate outside the law. When people see powerful men abusing and trafficking young girls without consequence, it shakes something fundamental. They have seen the callowness, immaturity, hedonism, venality, rootlessness, and immorality of our governing class.
By the way, you notice how he almost said immortality? That's because the system that's been set up of this predator class, of these oligarchs, not only feels like it is immortal, as many of them have reigned for generations, but then you've got guys like Epstein who were trying to become immortal through transhumanism, through cloning. Okay, that's real. That's in the files. All right. So whether Ro actually knew it or not, that little slip up wasn't much of a slip up.
People who chose being part of a network instead of speaking up against the abuse of young girls. And many are asking themselves, if these elite can get away with that, what can't they get away with? They see elite indifference and impunity has led to wealth piling up in the hands of a few in a few places, while the vast majority of this country has faced stagnation and struggling for economic security. Workers and communities have been treated as dispensable, just like these young girls were in the Epstein matter. Fortunes have been built on a foundation of offshoring jobs, automating plants, liquidating companies, buying back stock, and of course, harvesting all of our data. Consider this. 19 billionaires hold over $3 trillion in wealth, 12.5% of our entire economy. This is three times the concentration of the Gilded Age, where we had Rockefeller, Vanderbilt, Morgan, and Carnegie.
I'm going to stop it right there. Can you argue with that? Think about that. Anybody a fan of the Rockefellers? You know, one of the things that is going to be in my upcoming Epstein Files documentary is the love affair, apparently, between Jeffrey Epstein, who got put on the board of Rockefeller, and his relationship with David, who he's a wonderful human being. That's quite the endorsement from our good buddy, Jeffrey Epstein, isn't it? It's a quite the endorsement, okay? And meanwhile, we're going to come back to Ro Khanna in a minute because he gets asked about Pam Bondi and the Epstein files and the fact that basically, you know, Bondi thinks she's above the law. You know, she denied coming in. And we'll see. They may make her come in just like they made Wexner come in, just like they made the Clintons come in. Still waiting on Gates. We've been hearing about Gates next. But he nails it when talking about, you know, the 3 million plus files. And he even talks about Swalwell and Leon Black. I mean, absolutely nails it. But you know what I didn't see? I didn't see headlines with that. Instead, I saw headlines like this one. Okay. Elon Musk's father insists Epstein is alive, and it's absurd to think that he's dead. See, it's absurd to think he's dead. First of all, from what I've seen, Errol Musk, horrible human being. Absolutely not a good person. And look, I've had my problems with the Musker do, and I still do. You look at his parents, and you look at the way he acts, and you cannot tell me that that guy didn't succumb some kind of traumatic abuse. Now, I'm not saying it was of a sexual nature, et cetera, but so many of these guys, I mean, Thiel's another one. I look at his mannerisms, the way he asks, some type of abuse is there. All right. But people will take the word of Errol Musk, who like married his stepdog. Among other things, because they want to believe, like I said in the very beginning, all the fantastical. Here's a shot of Epstein's arm, the supposedly not dead Epstein while he's dead. And anybody can go check, you know, the 60 Minutes out, and I get it. You don't believe 60 Minutes, but if 60 Minutes has the coroner's photographs and there seems to be an injection mark on his arm, weird, right? Amongst other things, other people have it as well, right? And we'll just scroll through. And then on top of the photographs supposedly not being real, like that's supposedly not Epstein, believe me, they go through quite a few of the graphic ones. Then you have multiple coroners that are at odds with each other that supposedly didn't conduct these autopsies like Baden, which I totally believe he did. Oh, yeah. And then there's that whole thing where Epstein's brother and lawyer claimed that the first suicide attempt, I don't know why they wouldn't have just extracted him then if they extracted him, right? That he was actually strangled by now a convicted crooked cop and quadruple murderer. Nicholas Tartiglione. Don't know if it happened. Know the claims, but no. Epstein's alive somewhere. Give me a break. We're going to come back. More Ro Khanna on the Alex Jones Show, speaking the truth after this.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at TheAlexJonesStore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at TheAlexJonesStore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now. You get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, classic video right there, Land of Confusion, one of my favorites. Kind of spooked me as a kid, but certainly stands the test of time. Might want to go check that out at some point. Look, we're going to get to Ro Khanna in a moment, talking about the Epstein class, talking about the cover-up. But first, you know, I want to really hammer home this point about how people just fall in love with the fantastical that has no basis in reality. Okay, I've just got to put that out there because it's so important. Now, you look at Khanna sitting here at the National Press Club. Again, should have been national news. But instead, look over to the right here. See this? A mortician explains why this photo doesn't make sense. That's not what the headline used to be. And it's got the goofy, like, circle around Epstein's eyes. 2.4 million views. In 3 months, okay? Now, the actual, there's two videos of this, by the way. 60 Minutes put two separate videos of it. Well, one with, like, Epstein's face that's totally gruesome. I couldn't show here. I mean, we could show it on InfoWars. 6 years ago, that's 3 months, 2.4 million views, 1.4 million, so just a million shy in a much longer time period. And then on top of that, the 60 Minutes other piece is not in the recommendation feed from YouTube. That should tell you all you need to know about narrative management. Now, let's have Ro Khanna tell you what's up with those blacked out Epstein files.
What do you want to ask her? What don't you know yet about the Epstein files?
I don't know a lot. I don't know why the 3 million files that have been held have been so blacked out. Why the redactions took place in March, where a lot of the names that were mentioned of people who were abusers, who raped young girls, why those are all blacked out and even members of Congress can't see them. They claim, oh, this is to protect survivors. But you don't need to blank out 3 million pages of documents just to protect survivors' names. That would be the first question. Why aren't they releasing the actual documents where most of the people are named who raped and abused these girls? The second thing I don't know is why she refused to meet with survivors. You know, why not meet with survivors' lawyers? Just from protecting yourself, if I were attorney general, I would say, well, let me get the survivors' groups in. Let's have a process that the survivors' lawyers agree to so that if there are any honest mistakes, we could have had the survivors' buy-in and I wouldn't get blamed. But they refused to meet any of the survivors' lawyers. They refused to sit down with the survivors. Why? Third, why are they not starting investigations in a criminal matter with people with serious allegations like Les Wexner, like Leon Black? You know, I was asked recently about the very disturbing allegations against Congressman Swalwell and how do I square that with the Epstein class? And I said there needs to be accountability, whether you're a member of Congress or whether you raped or abused allegedly girls on Epstein's Island. But there's the Manhattan DA is within days opened up an investigation into Congressman Swalwell. And yet for years, we don't have a single investigation into Leon Black and into Les Wexner. Why? Why is there no investigation? How powerful are these people that you've not opened up a single investigation for prosecution of the people mentioned in the Epstein files?
I think all valid points, all valid questions. And really to answer the Swalwell thing again, he stepped out of line. So now I want to talk, I want to move on just a little bit, although this really does talk about that political Epstein class, okay, and how they are constantly protecting did by the press, unless, again, they step out of line. Justin Trudeau doesn't step out of line. Sure, he can't get enough of wearing blackface, right? That's a real thing. Kind of wild that, you know, not only did he, you know, want to be the blackfaced Aladdin, but there's that video of him where he, I mean, you talk about stereotypes. The guy stuffed like a snake down his pants in full blackface at some like rich kid's getaway and resort. Okay. I mean, nobody seems to bring up any of that. So, I'm a dick-a-dick-a doing before the show. And just randomly, I see this report that he's been accused, Justin Trudeau, of having CP, that's child abuse, images or video, on his devices, a.k.a. his phone. Whoa, haven't heard this one. Haven't heard this one. And apparently, this author that spent some time in these circles, he wrote a book called Trudeau's Kitchen, is now suing the Toronto Star, and he names the journalist because they gave him information that they knew that Trudeau had this material and was being investigated for security reasons on his phone. Not hearing this anywhere. Now, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but then you see the time periods that coincide with these allegations and him stepping down. Now, he was already immensely unpopular, but, you know, something to look at, right? Something to pay attention to, nowhere. So, let's speak to a little narrative management here. I type in just Justin Trudeau CP allegation, nothing else, nothing else. And Google, the lords of narrative management, they just totally say that they say that this stem, they totally lie is what they do. That's they're liars. Okay. AI is a liar. Period. Full stop. It's not hallucinating. It is programmed to lie to you on behalf of the great narrative of the day. That's it. So to show and articulate, this is why you got to know what you're actually doing and asking AI. So again, look what I typed. Justin Trudeau, CP allegation. Okay. What's the first sentence? The primarily surface information regarding a 2018 groping allegation. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not stemming from an incident in 2000. No, it doesn't. And all of it, it says, is a disinformation and misinformation campaign. Okay? So you say, oh, from the mainstream or authoritative news source. I didn't ask you for that. So they get into the groping allegations and the disinformation and false claims. And the AFP, again, never. You see, this is in 2020. Reported on a disinformation campaign likely linked to Trudeau to, you know, and nothing else. There was no evidence of this. No evidence, supposedly. Okay. And again, they just tell you he's not the prime minister anymore and he resigned in March of 2025, blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, what about the book Trudeau's Kitchen? See, I knew where this came from. All right. Really easy. Oh, now there are legal allegations. Okay. Recent headlines involving the book center around a lawsuit filed by Jeff Brown that specifically mentions the child exploitation material allegations you previously asked about. Then why didn't you say that from the beginning? He's got a lawsuit against the Toronto Star. Okay. And by the way, you notice they protect the journalist's name in this one, but I think it's a, let me see. We'll just go back here because it's right here. Robert Cribb. Okay. But we'll get back to narrative management in a minute. We'll go back right here. You notice I typed in, and this is the news that Google feeds me. Trudeau Toronto Star lawsuit. It starts with Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau at Coachella. There's one article right here. And at least it's there. You know, at least they gave it to the second one. Talking about the child abuse material, but that's it. It's nowhere else. Now they don't even want to, and you know, there's more out there. And all this is going back like almost a year plus, has nothing to do with that. By the way, Katy Perry, also some allegations of her and sexual assault this week that seem pretty damn credible to me. Doesn't shock me. By the way, again, you see who Katy Perry's been around in her lifetime, who she's had relationships with. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that, folks, but you can look into it. So look, it looks like in 2021, again, nothing to do with 2020 or anything it told you before. Okay. An investigative journalist at the Star told him that RCMP had discovered child abuse material on Justin Trudeau's personal devices while monitoring them for security threats. Okay. So all I know is this information's out there, and I'm not seeing it anywhere else, and Google and all the rest are lying to you about it. Now, let's talk a little bit more about narrative control and what's going on in the Middle East, okay? Now, I think I mentioned this on the War Room. Does Palestine even exist at this point? And believe it or not, the New York Times has this video out there that we're gonna get to in a minute that's actually telling you the truth. I don't know much about Ezra Klein, but it's like an 8-minute video. I doubt we'll get to all of it, but every point he hits seems to be true. Okay. So if you haven't seen this image yet, I saw this and I saw basically prominent Israelis and others saying it was AI and it was fake. And this guy's not wearing the right IDF outfits and all this other stuff. So I'll actually read this from this rabbi and what he has to say about this image right here of an IDF soldier in a further settlement zone. So in other words, they're taking their land and like laughing and smiling as he films this woman who's being driven from her already decimated homeland. Okay. So either it's real or not. I just want to make that clear. Okay. So the guy says this: Italy's magazine, El Press Online, publishing anti-Semitic Der Strummer worthy imagery should clarify where they got this image from. The military vest worn here is no longer, he doesn't even spell that right, no longer in use by the IDF. The wedding ring and bracelet are never worn by ultra-Orthodox men. The formation of the beard and kippah are outlandish. And of course, The very bizarre smile showing teeth are unnatural. Really? Because here's the video of it being very, very natural. There he is. It's very real. There he is smiling. There he is taping. So again, is this real? Or am I having a fever dream? I haven't seen any retractions. I haven't seen anything about it. Okay. And, you know, right now, like, there's backlash and there's some kind of diplomatic. It's real. So either I can present the truth or I can't present the truth. All right. Now I'm going to hit you with something very real as it gets. All right. I've got some leaked footage of Lindsey Graham after a successful drone bombing and killing of a church school combo of innocent civilians. This is what Lindsey Graham actually does. It's 100% real. This is how Lindsey Graham acts when those things occur.
She's got style. She's got face. She's a winner. She's a lady. She's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine.
Look at him lick those lips, huh? Lovely lady Lindsey Graham. Every single time innocents are killed. Hell, that's just him when he reminisces on the United States dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or maybe the Dresden campaign. That's Lindsey loves it. Can't get enough. By the way, if you're watching this on the replay on my YouTube, yes. I had to take out the audio of the Tom Jones song, She's a Lady. Documentary footage, everybody. That Lindsey Graham. Now, this is real, okay? And again, this is Ezra Klein essentially explaining to people, and again, I asked the question, does Palestine even exist at this point? I don't know that it does. You know, you look at just the occupation, and I know there's so many people out there talking about a two-state solution. I'd love to believe in fairy tales and unicorns, too. But the reality is this, okay? Israel's one-state reality, and I'm just going to have Ezra Klein break it down.
I've been trying to think about how to begin this episode, which is a very, very tricky one. And I found myself thinking about a debate I heard a lot in 2023 and 2024. You would hear these chants and see these signs. From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. And it flared into this huge controversy.
Free Palestine from the river to the sea means get rid of all the Jews.
No, from the river to the sea means the land in between is free. Everyone in between is free.
This is a genocidal chant.
What was always so strange to me, so backwards about this focus on college campus protesters, was that there was this reality people weren't really admitting, that there is one power from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That power, that sovereign, which if you travel in that area, and I have, is just visually undeniable, is Israel. American politics has not grappled really at all with the level of day-to-day domination that Israel exerts over Palestinian lives and the complete absence of any horizon at all for that to end. And this was true before October 7th. In early 2023, the political scientists Michael Barnett, Nathan Brown, Mark Lynch, and Shibley Talhami published an edited volume called The One State Reality. Their argument, which he also made in a very controversial foreign affairs piece, was that, quote, Palestine is not a state in waiting, and Israel is not a democratic state incidentally occupying Palestinian territory. All the territory west of the Jordan River has long constituted a single state under Israeli rule, where the land and the people are subject to radically different legal regimes and Palestinians are permanently treated as a lower caste.
Can you argue with that? Is that arguable? I mean, nailing it. Even prior to October 7th. All right, think about this. October 7th absolutely led. I mean, they've waited to hear how much more land they have after October 7th. But that's why we have Iran. That is why we have Lebanon right now. That's why if we allow these maniacs to continue, we're not only going to have global warfare, but these guys are going to be chomping at the bit for pieces of Egypt and Syria as well. Guaranteed, everybody. 1,000%.
What they were saying then is that the hope of a two-state solution in the future had become a way many in America particularly avoided reckoning with the one-state reality of the present. That reality was not accidental. It is not intended to be transient. It was being etched into the land in stone and cement, in settlements and checkpoints, in the construction of walls and the demolition of homes. That might have been a controversial claim when they made it. What has happened since October 7th has made it an undeniable reality. Israel now occupies more than half of Gaza. The more than 2 million Gazans have been herded into less than half of the land they formerly occupied. And Gaza, it should be said, was already one of the most overcrowded places on earth.
Again, how do you argue with these things? I know, terrorism, Hezbollah. Look, that place has been leveled. I don't know. Like, is that like one of the true legacies of the Trump administration, that when we get to the end of this in a little over 2 years, that Palestine just, everyone, Israel's going to get wiped off the map. Israel shouldn't exist. Never said those things, don't believe in those things, but they try to label somebody bringing attention to this as that. All right, no, looks like Palestine is being completely and totally obliterated and taken off the map. Just like, you know, Apple in their maps, just these towns in Lebanon, these areas, they no longer need to be labeled. No.
The conditions Gazans now live in, they're hellish. And there is no near term, there's no imagined, there's no envisioned relief. This is and it remains collective punishment. Hamas, not the children of Gaza, attacked Israel on October 7th. The conditions the children of Gaza now live in are not, they're not moral. In the West Bank, Israel has choked off money to the Palestinian Authority.
And by the way, you know, forget about the history of Hamas and how really it was Israeli leadership that created them, thinking they were going to be able to keep them on a chain and have this controllable enemy, right? Forget about all that. October 7th stinks to high hell. If that's not at least a lie hop, you know, with other operatives in a standout, I mean, I don't know, man. Sure looks that way to me, feels that way to me. They came in on hang gliders, for God's sakes. Like, nobody's along, no Air Force, nowhere near the military might of the Israelis. Ben Swan's done, you know, epic pieces on it. That's the one, you know, again, there are always levels to this and layers. You're not going to see Ezra Klein ask that question, but it's a question we should be asking, right? Especially from an extremely corrupt Netanyahu regime that had been voted out of office, came back into office, was still being investigated for massive corruption, as he is today, and just no accountability.
It has built settlements, chosen to build settlements at a record pace. More settlements were approved in the last year alone than in the two decades before combined. Israel has protected a terrifying rise in settler violence and military violence towards the Palestinians. There is no doubt, if you go there, who rules the West Bank, and it is not the PA. When Netanyahu signed a recent settlement project, a project the United States had opposed for a long time because it would effectively bisect the West Bank, making a Palestinian state physically unimaginable, Netanyahu made clear that that was exactly why he was signing it. He said, "We are going to fulfill our promise. There will be no Palestinian state. This place belongs to us." In the north, Israel has used war in Iran as cover to invade Lebanon, displacing more than 1 million people, and suggesting that up to 600,000 will not be allowed to return to their homes until Israel has established its security zone, whatever that proves to be.
They're not going, 600,000? Are you out of your mind? Again, I don't know another word. That's why J.D. Vance had a poorly attended TPUSA event while stumbling over his words via the Epstein files, you know, has those Thiel connections after all, right? After stumbling over his words there, they're yelling out about genocide. And you could sit there and act like, well, don't become unpolitically engaged over one issue. Yeah, the issue is the death, the slaughter, the maiming of innocent women and children. Sorry, not getting off that horse, no matter how high you think I'm on it. Okay? I am truly on team humanity, and I don't like people that are slaughtered overseas, despite the fact I don't speak their language or don't adhere to their culture. Especially the children. Man, that upsets me. I saw more damn dead kids in my feed. I saw dead bodies just being treated. Again, I got cold chills just thinking about that gross that I can't get out of my head. You know, I've got a little over a minute left in the broadcast. If you want to see the rest of that, you know, you just type in Israeli one state, New York Times. Kudos to them for putting that out. And kudos to Ezra Klein for that. And that's the thing. It's just like 60 Minutes. It's not like I trust 60 Minutes, right? It's not like I trust the New York Times. But you got to have discernment. You got to be able to go out to every single media outlet, independent or otherwise, hear and see what they have to say, cross-reference that with publicly available information, and then use that God-given discernment. You know, I heard Harrison kind of say it yesterday, that ignorance is bliss. No, it ain't. Sorry. Ignorance is weakness. You should not want to be ignorant. You should want to be informed. And the more information you have, the better set you are to protect yourself and your family. This is True Free Speech TV. Give me a follow over at X, where I don't know that that is free speech. And remember, it's not about left or right. Always about right and wrong. Support Alex Jones. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get the products, get the hats, get the t-shirts, get the supplements.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder, 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the InfoWar this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexjonesstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.